In the gospel yesterday, we started to listen to the conversation of Jesus and Nicodemus that continues today. In fact, there's a little overlap you might have noticed from the end of yesterday's gospel and the beginning of today's gospel. Same verse was read. And Nicodemus finds it difficult to understand what in the world Jesus is talking about. So here's Nicodemus. He's an educated man. He's open. He's seeking to understand the ways of God. He comes to a man, Jesus, who Nicodemus knows comes from God, as he said in yesterday's gospel. But when Jesus speaks, it's difficult for Nicodemus to understand. And I think it's good to realize that that is our experience too. Very often we come with open hearts, I hope. We come with faith, we come with trust in Jesus, but we don't always understand what he's saying or what he's doing in our life. So here Jesus is speaking about being blown like the wind, being led by the Spirit. He talks about earthly things and heavenly things and the Son of Man being lifted up like the serpent. Nicodemus knows that passage from the book of Numbers about the serpent in the desert, but he has no idea why Jesus is saying the Son of Man has to be like that serpent. It's just stretching him beyond his capacity. Well, as I thought of this, I couldn't help but think about some of our current affairs, and maybe this will help us reflect a little bit on the difference between living according to our natural inclinations and living according to the Spirit. But what I'm thinking about in particular is this apostolic journey of Pope Leo XIV to four countries in Africa. He just left yesterday, so that maybe hasn't been that prominent in the news, but he's been planning this trip for a while. And he today is in Algeria. And I was surprised to learn that no pope has ever gone to Algeria. I was really surprised. And there are hardly any Christians there or any Catholics there. It's in Algeria's northern Africa, right? But part of the history of Algeria is that's where St. Augustine is from. And maybe he's even buried there. I don't really know where the tomb of St. Augustine is. But Pope Leo is an Augustinian. So he's going to his spiritual roots. He's a spiritual son of St. Augustine. He's going to honor St. Augustine. That's only one of the reasons he's going there. But if you look at it from the perspective of faith, you say, isn't that beautiful? If you look at it from the perspective of the world, you say, what is this guy doing? Why is he going to Algeria, of all places? He's got enough problems to deal with in Rome. There's a war going on in the Middle East. There's problems in the church. What's he going to Algeria for? You can see the difference. So you could understand people asking that question, but from the faith perspective, we should be able to say, well, isn't that beautiful? Here's Pope Leo, led by the Spirit, doing what he sees is God's will for him. And so he's going on this, as I said, 11-day trip to Africa. And he's not just going to the countries near Algeria. He's going from Algeria, then he's skipping down to Cameroon, then he's skipping way down to Angola, then back up to Cameroon, or maybe in Equatorial Guinea. And I read the account today, 18 flights. He's going to make 18 flights on this trip. Again, humanly speaking, you say, what is this? Man, 70 years old, what's he jumping around to all these? Why doesn't he do it more logically? Why doesn't he do it the way it makes sense to us? Because he's not following the ways of the world. And I'm not saying Pope Leo is perfect, but he's doing what makes sense according to the Spirit. The wind blows where it wills. This is what Jesus said. You can hear the sound it makes. You can see that the Pope's going jumping all around Africa, but you don't know where this sound comes from. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So following the Spirit means basing our decisions, our actions on a standard that is not visible to the world and is mysterious and may even seem crazy to the world. You also know, I'm sure, that the Pope has faced some harsh criticism from world leaders. I won't go into all that, but Jesus said that if they criticize me, if they attack me, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. I'm sure Pope Leo is not at all surprised. It's not the first time he's been attacked. And I'm sure he's not even disturbed by it, but he's going to proclaim the gospel, as he said. That's my job, to proclaim the gospel. And part of the gospel message for now is the evils of war should be opposed. Especially that war in the Middle East. Okay. So I'm just using Pope Leo as an example. Again, not a perfect example. No one is. But it is a real example of someone striving to live by the Spirit and someone who's striving to lift up the Son of Man so that people focus on the gospel. The Son of Man will be lifted up like the serpent in the desert. Well, that means lifting up the cross. It means lifting up the whole paschal mystery. It means lifting up the paradox that love is more powerful than weapons and that sacrifice is more powerful than domination. Yeah, that's lifting up the Son of Man. It's lifting up the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ crucified. And wherever the Pope goes and wherever any authentic Christian goes, that's what he will share. That's what we should share. So that's, I think, a way of understanding what Jesus is revealing to Nicodemus. Nicodemus doesn't have the capacity yet to understand it because he hasn't received the Holy Spirit. But this message is not only for Nicodemus, it's for us and for everyone. That's why we're pondering it now, 2,000 years later. In the first reading, we get another description of the early church, one of these descriptions of an ideal Christian community. We had one on Sunday, on Divine Mercy Sunday. That one was, I think it was earlier in Acts of the Apostles, wasn't it? Yeah, Acts chapter 2, how everyone was united in the teaching, following the teaching of the apostles, the communal life, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. Well, here we have another, this is Acts chapter 4, the community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they had everything in common. So a beautiful description of a perfectly united, well, one body of Christ, with one spirit, with one heart, one mind. Is that what the church is like? Everyone knows, no, not exactly, not yet, at least not in this world. Yes, in heaven, that's exactly what the church is like. But here, we who are still on our journey, we are not yet fully one mind and one heart because we're still dragged down by our sin condition. And it's very difficult. Anyone who strives to live in Christian community or Christian family or Christian marriage knows this is very challenging, and it takes a lot of dying for this kind of life to flourish in the Christian community. Nevertheless, this description of the church is valid because the gift of this unity has already been given to us in the Holy Spirit. This is clearly not unity based on human motives and human capacity, human capabilities. This is clearly unity in the Spirit, unity that comes from the Holy Spirit, from the power of God that makes one body out of many members. We can't do that, but God can do it, and he has already done it through the sacrifice, the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So this, even though it's an ideal, it's not just a dream. It's a reality that is still unfolding. I think it's important to hold on to that because when we run into difficulties, as we always will in our personal journey and in our communal journey, it can be very discouraging. So, we try and try and we can't get over our own sins. We try and try, we can't get along with other people. We try and try and we're not one mind and one heart. And it gets discouraging. Well, when that happens, the key is not to focus on ourselves and on what we can and can't do, but to call on the Lord and to rely on the power of God. For sure, that's what Pope Leo is doing when he goes to Africa. Does he think he's going to run into perfect communities everywhere he goes in Africa? No, not in the world and not even in the church, but he's going to bring the message of the gospel. He's going to bring the fact that God is the one who establishes us as one body, who makes us one mind and one heart. God does this. So it's a call to respond to this gift. In the first reading, we have this marvelous example of Barnabas. This is the first time we hear about Barnabas. We're going to hear about him again, very prominently in the in the journey of Saul, who becomes Paul. But here, here's a man who's abandons himself to the Holy Spirit. He sells a property, gives the money to the church. Why? Why do it? Why do this thing like that? Because he's led by the Spirit. Because he's living on a, he's basing his life on a criterion that the world doesn't understand. It's very beautiful to see examples of this. I hope we all know that what this is like, and we've seen people who have made these leaps of faith, of generosity, of self-sacrifice. It should be a normal part of Christian life. Since in this case, Barnabas is a gives a huge donation to the church, I can't help but think of experiences, even in our own community, where people completely unexpectedly gave us huge amounts of money. They trust that we're doing the work of God, and they say, okay, well, I'm going to give this to you so you can do this good work. It's very humbling. You say, well, we're not doing it perfectly. And yet, there's something authentic about that. I'm sure the sisters have this experience too. Benefactors, people who come along and say, well, we want to support you. We think that this gift that we have, we want to give to you. Well, okay. Let the Holy Spirit move people to respond and to be generous, to live the Christian life, live the gospel. And that makes it possible for lots of the church's practical good works to be carried out. The point, though, is that these are not merely human actions or human motives. This is the work of God being inspired by the Spirit of God. And that's what we strive to do. We continue to strive to do this without getting discouraged by our weaknesses or by our sometimes fragmented condition. Yes, we're still living in a fallen world and our own fallen nature. But the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That's our goal. That's the gift we have already received, and we strive to welcome it and live it out, eternal life.